First of all, I want to say good morning to Philadelphia Tabernacle that is tuning in. Come on, Chicago. Let's say good morning to our sister church and all of our online family. This is Missions Month at Chicago Tabernacle and Philadelphia.
Come on, let's praise the Lord, everyone.
We are one church in two cities, and it is literally because of the command of God to give and go that this is unfolding right before our eyes. And so we're so excited about this month because the Lord has been speaking to our leadership team. The Lord has been speaking to Chrissy and I in some very specific ways.
First of all,
A few moments ago, they talked about the Great Commission. The Great Commission is a co-mission. Everybody say co-mission.
First of all.
And what the Bible means when it says the Great Commission, the Great Commission, is that it is a mission that God gives to us, but we don't go alone. We are accompanied by the Holy Spirit. How many know He is the one who goes with us and wants to use us? Anybody here believes that? We don't do it by ourselves.
First of all, I want
by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Great Commission is actually all about. And you know what? I don't want to miss this opportunity. Everyone say this Saturday. This Saturday, we have a ladies' outreach here in Chicago. We have an Illuminate outreach. And brothers, sisters, you got to invite people. Why? Because the command of God is that we have to go into the highways and the byways. We got to tell everyone about Jesus. How many would say amen? Mark it. Write it down. Pick someone. Pray for someone. Be deliberate about inviting someone. Let us fill this place to the rafters so people could come into the saving knowledge of Jesus. How many would say amen? How many commit to pray for Illuminate this Saturday? Doors open at 5:30. You will not want to miss that. But we're gonna take some time here to talk about the Great Commission. Now, in order for us to understand the Great Commission, which comes at the end of the book of Matthew, you actually have to go to Acts chapter 1, where Jesus explains to us how we will execute the Great Commission. He broke it down for his disciples, and he's breaking it down for us today. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, is as follows. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem. Jerusalem is very, very important here, even as it relates to us. You there in Philadelphia, us here in Chicago, very, very important. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive everyone power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my everyone witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, this is very important, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. These were two angels. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who had been taken from you into heaven will come back. Everybody say, we'll come back. Will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The last words of Christ taught us, commanded us, called us to fulfill the Great Commission and actually explain to us how we will fulfill the Great Commission. And here's what's interesting about this, brothers and sisters. When Jesus rose from the dead, the thinking of his disciples, the thinking of his children was, we've been through so much. There's been so many hardships, so many difficulties. Finally, the Messiah is here. And now you've come. You went to the cross. You died. You rose from the grave. Hallelujah. Now you're back. Now you're going to restore everything. Now it's all going to be over. Everything is going to be right. When is this going to be over, Lord? And Jesus turns to them and says, over? No. This thing is not over. You're just getting started. Okay, I did this for 3 years. Now you're going to do it until I come back to get you. And how many know that includes us? It's time for us to get started. Somebody say amen. You're just getting started in the name of Jesus. Receive the word of the Lord that God wants to use you in the Great Commission. I have a quote that I was going to use a little bit later, but I want to give you this quote right now. There was a broadcaster who was a Christian, and here's what he said. He said, we've strayed from being fishers of men to being keepers of the aquarium. Brothers and sisters in Philadelphia, if you're watching online here in Chicago, this is not an aquarium. How many know we are here on this planet not to look around and say, oh, look at all these nice things. Oh, look at the sharks passing over. No, we're here to reach out under the power, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to go catch some men. They could be sharks. They could be guppies. We don't care. We want them all. How many would say amen? So it's time to stop watching. It's time to step in the waters and make a difference. How many would say amen? Amen. Now, what I want to do before we unfold this entire month, I need to speak to you a little bit about how God has been leading us for a number of years now. First of all, we've got all of our new family in Philadelphia. There are a lot of new people at our church. And so we're going to go back a little bit so that we could, like, recognize what's happening in this very moment. A number of years ago, we moved into this building by a whole series of miracles. And then as soon as we moved into this building, the Lord said, I don't want you to be settled in this building. I want you to go beyond. Everybody say beyond. And so we started the Beyond Project. It was a capital campaign. It was a campaign that God had given us to do so many different things. And he gave us three abiding values. Number one, beyond our walls. Everybody say beyond our walls. Number two, beyond our generation. Everyone say beyond our generation. And number three, beyond our imagination. Everybody say beyond our imagination. He says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think or even imagine. Sometimes we ask God for A, and what God has is way bigger than what we're thinking. And so we started this capital campaign, and over the course of 3 years, we raised $2.3 million. Now, there was a vision gap because we had things lined up with banks and on and on and on, and we were ready to go. But we needed, our threshold was $3.5 million. So we only raised a $2.1 million or $2.3 million. And so there was this gap which limited our ability to release that. But right after that, little did we know that COVID was coming. Now, God knew that COVID was coming. When COVID came, the whole world changed for us. The economy changed. Everything was shut down. Interest rates changed. Like, construction costs changed. Like, so many things happened at once. People were moving all over the country. We literally, I don't know, hundreds of people moved from Chicago to different places. And so God knew that the landscape of our church and the dynamics of what we were going to be facing would be very different. And as we were going through COVID, we were like, Lord, we can't stop. We cannot stop just because there's a global pandemic. What's the next step? So we decided, you know what? We can't build the big Becoming Center. Not yet. Everybody say not yet. But we're going to do something. And so we transformed a building that was essentially given to us just a block and a half away. And we turned that into our first step, part A, Becoming Center, which is going on right now in such incredible ways. We started that. People started to coming from all over our community. And let me tell you a couple of things about our current Becoming Center, which is just a mini of what we really want to do. Because I'm telling you right now, God is going to build that building. God is going to knock down that wall. How many know He's not finished? The Lord's not done yet. But the Bible says when you're faithful with the small, more will be added. And so we kind of redid this building. It plays multiple roles. First of all, it fulfills our business as mission model. We said from the very beginning that we wanted to create, generate some different income streams. And the minute we closed on the building, we started to rent that space. We rented to a local high school. They teach college and career classes there. I don't know what, $8,000 or $9,000 a month. That building has been cash flow positive from day one. It's been a blessing. And listen, one day when we pay all of this off, all of that goes to more and more, come on, ministry, more and more outreach. We got a great, powerful, long-term plan. We rent apartments. We have a storefront, all of which we have not filled in because we kind of have plans for them ourselves. So there's a school. We started to rent it. It's our youth center. Our kids go there on Friday nights, and then our kids go there on Sunday. Next service, they'll be having breakfast and Bible study. But more than that, we actually launched our Becoming Center. Let me tell you what's going on in that building every day of the week except Tuesdays. Why? Because Tuesday is our most important meeting of the week. The what? The prayer meeting. But let me read a couple things to you. On Mondays, we teach English as a second language for adults and children. We have art class, mixed media. We have martial arts. On Wednesdays, we have art class, printmaking. We have college and career readiness, martial arts. Thursday, dance 101. I might take that. Finance. Finance 101 for adults. Saturday, Pastor Jake was coaching in one of the classes, and he called me, and I was like, hey, where are you coming from? This was on Saturday. He says, oh, my goodness, just came from the Becoming Center. It was packed, okay? On Saturdays, they have vocal one-on-one, cooking and hospitality, soccer, basketball, toddler, sensory. We've got all kinds of things for the people of this community to walk into and find Jesus. Come on, could we praise God right now? Hallelujah. This is not an aquarium. We reach out. We reach out. It's the heart of God to reach out. Brothers and sisters, it's time to reach out. We are not babies in the Lord. It's time to reach out. Somebody say amen. Now, I want to take this further. In addition to us getting a phenomenal education on how to run a Becoming Center, because there's so many things to learn, to do something with excellence and efficiency, we're learning so much, and we're doing even more that I don't have time to unfold to you. But this has been part of God's beyond our walls, beyond our generation, beyond our imagination. Now, I want to tell you something that the Lord has really put in my heart. I believe that we're supposed to, when we build that building, and even before, I believe we're supposed to start a Spanish church in that building. Can I tell you something? Our city is a sanctuary city. Now, regardless of your politics about you know, what you feel about us being a sanctuary city, I want you to look above that and look past that. I want you to look to the fact that people are coming into our country that need Jesus desperately. How many would say amen? They need the love of God. They need the light of God. They need the hands of the body of Christ reaching out and supporting them. And so listen, in Leviticus 19:33, listen to this. It says, when an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The stranger who lives as a foreigner with you shall be to you as a native born among you. You shall love him as yourself. For you lived as foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your God. How many are thankful today that Jesus reached out to us and saved us? Is anybody here blessed? And is anybody here prosperous? Is anybody here healthy and joyful because of the love of Jesus? We have to pass on that love. And listen, I have a photo here of an outreach that we've recently done. This is kind of like an immigration center, and this is just one of the many times. We have people hitting the streets all the time. Can I encourage you to get involved in the kingdom of God? If you don't know about these things, you need to sign up, you need to inquire, you need to get involved in the kingdom of God. It is the will of God. We become as we give and go. Transformation, blessing, victory, the leading of God, the power of the kingdom of God comes alive as we give and go. We have to take our place in all of these things. So many different opportunities. And so I just want to say this. You know, it never dawned on me how God was going to unfold the Beyond Project. It was very straightforward to me, you see. But God has ideas that we just don't know. And so we walk by faith. And we keep following God. Okay, so we build this small becoming center. And we're like, Lord, what's going on? So lo and behold, God opens up a door through a series of a miracle. And we meet a pastor and just a wonderful group of people in Philadelphia. About 25 of them. And before we knew it, they were turning over a historic, a high impact historical church in the city of Philadelphia. If you've seen the movie Rocky, we're talking about a 5-minute walk from the Rocky Steps. In the 50s and in the 60s, this place was jam-packed with people. And it was called Highway Tabernacle. Two of the leaders of the Assemblies of God, senior top leaders, came out of that church. We're talking about a very historic place. And we're just praying and seeking God, and God makes a way. He melts our hearts together, and they turn around and they say, we want you to take this work over. And they give us two buildings. We raised 2.3. When we appraised these two buildings, the two buildings appraised at $2.1 million, no debt. So we gave, and the Lord gave it right back to us, but he gave it back to us in the city of Philadelphia because God was saying to us, I didn't fully understand, but God was saying to us, don't just focus on Jerusalem. Remember Judea. Remember Samaria. Remember the ends of the earth. And I want to say this to you, Philly Tabernacle. You must remember this season. We were a little church one day. We were a handful of people, and for the first 2.5 years, they sent money, and they paid all the bills. The people in the church didn't pay the bills. You guys can't pay all of the bills, but they sent money from the north and the south. It came from everywhere until Chicago Tabernacle got on its feet, and we became self-sufficient. There will come a day when you will be Jerusalem, and God is going to give you a Judea, and God is going to use you mightily. Hallelujah. Philadelphia is our Judea. But God will give Philadelphia a Judea. Soon and very soon. How many would say amen? Amen. So we sold one of the buildings. We redid the building. We haven't taken $1 out of that church. On the contrary, we've been giving to Philadelphia, because parents give to the daughters, right? To the children. But over time, God is going to use that place. And look, just like Chicago, it's still small. God is doing something wonderful. But here's my encouragement. If you went to a prayer meeting at Philadelphia Tabernacle, you would feel the presence of God. You will feel faith in the house. And let me tell you something, when people are praying, when people are calling upon the name of the Lord, you cannot stop the power of God or the will of God. Revival is coming to Philadelphia. God is going to raise up that house. Hallelujah. And I want to say this once again, brothers and sisters in Chicago, maybe some of you should go. You know what the catalyst was for us here? One of the catalysts here was the fact that we had a tremendous team as we started. Lots of people came, lots of people supported, and they need a stronger team. They're growing a good team, but they need a stronger team. And as people came, as people with the same heart, people with the same DNA, as that thing built up, then the kingdom of God grew here. This is not about Chrissy and I. This is about the heart of God. This is about the message, the word of God, the spirit of God upon all of us giving and going. Could somebody say amen to that? Hallelujah. And so here's the last thing I'll say before I unpack this text. So I didn't realize exactly what the Lord was doing. But this year, I actually went. It's been a long time since Christy and I have actually gone to a conference. And it was in London. And I had spoken to about 500 or 600 pastors. I spent 3 or 4 days in Malaysia. And on our way back, there was a conference. Someone blessed us. And they took care of everything so kind. And we went to this conference. And I speak at a lot of conferences, but I don't actually take in a lot of conferences. But this time we just took in, I took so many notes, I still refer to them to this very day. There were so many speakers, I was so blessed. And two things happened while I was there. For the both of us, and Chrissy and I, we held hands and we prayed. There was one message that was so powerful, they had a break, but Chrissy and I just sat in our seats and we wept and we cried out to God together. And two things happened when we were there. First of all, the whole world was there. You know, literally the whole world. There were people from every nation. And they sang songs in multiple different languages. It was one of the most beautiful experiences that I've ever had. It was at Royal Albert Hall, and it was so incredible. And it was a reminder to me, and I felt the Spirit of God whispering to me, don't forget Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And listen, you know what I felt the Lord whispering into my heart? Don't let your people forget either. Okay? It's so easy to say, man, life is tough here in Chicago. Life is tough in Philly. I got so much going on. I got this. I got that. Yeah, it's easy to say that. But I'm telling you right now, your heavenly Father, your commander, the captain of the Lord's army, is speaking to you and saying, you work for me and watch me work for you. Don't forget the globe. Somebody say amen to that. And so the Lord was like, we have to expand our vision. And everyone has to get more activated in the Great Commission. Look, sometimes I'm in the room with places and people are talking about ministries. Look, I don't do the comparison game. I don't do any of that. But here's one thing I know. I know that we are preaching the gospel around here. And we're baptizing people, and we're praying for people, and we're serving people, and we're teaching people, and we're loving people. There's a lot of ways that we could use our resources. We could use our resources to bring bands in that everybody knows. You know where our money goes? Our money goes into reaching souls, reaching people with the gospel. Somebody say amen. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe when God gives us more, we'll do more of that. But right now, you need to know we are committed to the Great Commission. This is a biblical mandate. And I want to encourage you, get in line with the flow of the Holy Spirit for your life. All things will be added. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All things will be added. You're like, but I need this, but I need that. Forget about all of that and focus on the will of God for you and watch it all come. Watch it all be provided for, because that's the kind of God that we serve. Could somebody give me more than a golf clap right now? Come on, let's put our hands together and say yes. Hallelujah. And so we need to recognize the times that we find ourselves in. And God is just getting started. And when he said, it's not time for you to, you're focused on the end, what you need to be focusing on is what I want to do through you now. I worked for 3 years. Now you're going to work until I come back. Is anybody here ready to work until Jesus comes back? Could I say here an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so how do we do this? How do we do this? Because remember, this is the Great Commission. By the way, I only said one, right? One was let everybody know, right? Two was send them. Two was challenge them. Two was don't let people get comfortable. Two was tell them that I want them to go. Tell them I want them to pray. Tell them until it comes out of their ears. Because Jesus is coming back. Brothers and sisters, he's coming back the same way he rose. How many know Jesus is coming back? What's the win? We want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Nothing more important, nothing more valuable than hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's all going to pass away except what we do for Jesus. So how do we do this? How do we, quote, give and go? His last words called us to believe and receive in two very specific ways. Number one, he told us in Acts chapter 1 to lean into the supernatural promise. There is a supernatural promise given to every child of God. The supernatural promise is wait, and you will receive power from on high, and you will become my witnesses. How many believe that God still gives power to his people? Wait, and you will receive power. There was a supernatural promise. He wants us to get hungry. You cannot miss this Tuesday. We're praying for power today. We're praying for power on Tuesday. We're praying for the cities this coming Tuesday. I want you to reach out. But when they were expecting power, what was the promise? Well, I want you to know we have been promised, first of all, an immersion experience. When you're baptized, you're immersed in water. Jesus said, seek me with all of your heart, seek me with desperation, seek me with a desire to be used, and if you will seek me, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to cover you, I'm going to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. How many know he is able to send his Spirit in power, and he can cover us, and then it's less of me and more of Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you ever felt the Spirit of God on a person? Have you ever felt the anointing of God on a human being? That is the power of the Spirit of God upon a life. He still does that today. The second thing he promised was what I just mentioned, is an infusion of power. Okay? What does that mean? It means that God, by the Holy Spirit, enables us to receive this dynamic energy that causes us, excuse me, that causes us to operate for the purposes of God and to see the fulfillment of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is fulfilled not because of you and me in our own strength, but because it is a commission and he puts his power upon our lives. See, faith says, I don't know. Did you hear the video? I'm not used to talking to people about the Lord, but let me tell you, if you go, the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need to talk to people. You will be endued with power. There will be an anointing upon you. There will be something on you, and you don't necessarily have to feel it, but it doesn't matter if you feel it, but they will feel it. You understand? So what was the promise? The promise was an immersion experience and an infusion of power. And then lastly, the promise was that there would be grace. Grace is God doing for you what you can't do for yourself, right? To transcend the natural world. Okay? See, sometimes we ourselves, but the people in the world, the people that you're meeting, your neighbors, your friends, your family, all they can see is the natural world. But when the Holy Ghost is upon you, when the Spirit of God is upon you, there are words, there's communication that will enable them to see past this natural world. How many are hungry for that to happen? How many believe that still happens? We want to see it in Philadelphia. We want to see it in Chicago. We want to see it everywhere that we go. It's real. It's powerful. It's true. Chantel, she felt it. Imagine that. She's only been here 3 months and she's already giving and going. They can send me a keyboard player. 3 months. Do you know what? Sometimes people are in church 3 years and they don't serve. And you know what? This is not a moment of condemnation. This is a moment of challenge. It's time to give and go. You know, I was reading recently in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. And I can't tell you, I've been reading the Bible for 40 years, you know, and the Bible has never been sweeter, more wonderful to me. My when I read the Bible in the morning, I mean, I know I have to work, but I wish I could just read the Bible and be with my wife. You know, it's like me and her, that's all good, you know. But it's bigger than that. But when I've been reading the Bible lately, it's just been so wonderful and so challenging, especially the Apostle Paul's life. You know what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians? He said, look, last time I'm going to see you, and God willing, I'll see you next week, okay, on Tuesday. So, but I'm talking about the spirit of the intensity of it, right? He said, I never withheld any truth from you that was helpful to you. He said, no matter what you thought about it, no matter how you felt about it, I always told you the truth. Can I tell you something? Okay, listen in Philadelphia. Right, there's so much going on in your natural world. But you need to let the Holy Spirit lift your vision. There are things more important than the bills that you and I have to pay. And they're serious. And the challenges that we have. And the illnesses that we face. And the disappointments and the struggles. We must lift our eyes past that. Suffering on this planet is just for a little while. But there will be a day, no more tears, no more sorrows. The day when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. We got to lift our eyes. We got to get hungry and say, Lord, fill me with power. That's the will of God. It's the will of God. The will of God is more important than all the dreams of men put together. Last week, one of our brothers who drives an Uber, he's part of our worship team, he told the guy, hey, you gotta come to church. Different faith, different background. That faith would never walk through the doors of this church. But he says, look, you gotta know Jesus. Only Jesus saves. Okay? Remember this. Only one person gave his life for the sins of the world. Only one. How many know his name is Jesus? Hallelujah. That's what you believe. That's how you grew up. That's cool. But have you considered Jesus? Have you considered Jesus? The guy came. He came. We made an altar call. He said, could you come with me to the altar? He says, look, I'm from another faith, but there's something here. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. How many know? The Spirit came to give life and freedom. Hallelujah. All of these things happen when the Spirit of God comes upon us in power. Pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pray, God, fill me afresh, fill me anew, fill me again. Set me on fire for you like never before. So first thing, we have to lean into the promise. It's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. It's not your strength, it's not your wisdom, it's by his Spirit. All things are possible when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. It's not who you are without the Holy Spirit, it's who you are with the Holy Spirit. That is the Great Commission. So that's number one. The second thing the Bible literally says, he says, you shall receive power from on high and you will be my, everyone, witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. That's the vision that God has cast for his people. That's the vision that he's cast for us. He fills us with power, and then here's what he says. He says, step out, and then I want you to prophesy in power. Okay? It means open your mouth and tell people, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to help you. Jesus, only Jesus can save you. Step out, open your mouth. Go, be his hands extended. Reach. Reach. Jesus was fundamentally saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do outreach locally, but I want you to reach out globally. That's the call of God upon every church. Somebody say amen. You see, Hudson Taylor put it this way. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. This was the command of God. He said, prophesy in power. And if you go and if you speak, I will use you. Here's one more quick story before we close. So for our back to school here in Chicago, Amanda, another... Man, the worship team has been busy. Let's put it put our hands together for the worship team. So Amanda Sparlin, Pastor Jake's wife, was coming to our back to school event. Like 1,000 people came, 900 people came for that event. Tons of people gave their lives to Christ. Through drama, through the arts, we preached the gospel. Well, she's driving and she stops at a light. When she stops at a light, I think this is the story. There are two moms and a bunch of kids, you know, asking for money. And she says, hey, you guys, let me take you to this big event. we've got food, we got all kinds of stuff for you. The kids are gonna love it. And they're like, look, we would love to go. By the way, they didn't speak English. We would love to go, but we can't because this is our biggest day of making money. It's a Saturday. If we give this up, then the rest of the week is affected. So she said, how much do you make today? They said, well, we typically make about this much. She said, I'll give it to you for today. Everybody say give and go. So they said, really? She said, yes. She said, get in the car. Two ladies, four kids, five kids, they all got in the car, brought them. They went during the drama, and she was translating during the drama. They were weeping. They gave their lives to Christ that day. How many know we got to give and go right here in Chicago? We got to give and go right there in Philadelphia. We got to give and go. It's so funny. We do translation second service here, but they came first service a couple weeks ago. They've been coming. They came first service, and they couldn't understand a thing, but they were so happy just to be in the Lord's house. How many know that people need to say, that's the Lord's house, but that's my house too. I know I can go there. I know I can receive love. I know somebody's going to hug me. Somebody's going to pray for me. Somebody's going to serve me in that place. Got to give and go. And so the local church, listen, almost done. The local church is God's vehicle and avenue to reach the lost and the needy, the lost and the needy. And lastly, to say this with me, mobilize the saints. Mobilize the saints. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, the role of a pastor is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. We're not the only workers up here. How many know we are all workers in the Lord's vineyard? Somebody say amen to that. You know, I was at a church once and someone said, hey, could you volunteer because your kids are in this ministry? She goes, that's why I give. It's like, No. There is so much more for us when we serve, when we step in, when we take our place. How many believe that? How many know we give and we go? So here's what we're gonna do. Number one, I want you to pray because at the end of this month, we wanna... You know, I've always had a dream of doing so much more for global missions. And it's challenging when you have a church in the inner city. Everything is so expensive here. And it's so challenging to do more. But I feel like God has given us a strategy. And I believe that through this strategy, we're going to see the fullness of the Beyond Project realized. How many know God's not finished? How many know that wall's coming down? How many know that building's coming up? And how many know we're going to do more and more and more, exceedingly and abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think or imagine? It's not the way we thought, but it's the way God thinks. God didn't want us to miss Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. We're going to take a special offering at the end of this month. It's going to go towards local and global missions. We want to be more equipped to do outreach. In fact, we're doing an outreach this year. We've already spoken to a small group. Again, this is partially exploratory for us, but We've got a group of medical people, and we're going to be going to Honduras, and a number of families have already sown seeds into this first offering that we're going to take at the end of October. They've given, I don't know how many families it is, but they've given, a few families, they've given $20,000 to buy medical equipment, echo, EKG, all kinds of like that. And so this thing is already started. Would you pray? Okay, this is going to be an offering. This is not going to be in place. We're asking you to give more. okay? You give as your, when we take an offering, this is your stewardship. The Bible says be a good steward. This is your stewardship. But the Bible says bring your tithe and your, everyone, offering. So I'm talking about an offering, not a tithe. At the end of the month, would you set something aside? Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, nobody will know, but whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we want to take a one-time offering to launch the Give and Go campaign. And then we're going to ask you to set aside once a month $33. Everybody say $33. Why do we pick 33? It's because while we were at the conference, I didn't know this, but there's a global movement right now that's saying we want to reach the whole world by 2033, because 2033 marks the 2,000 year anniversary of Jesus rising from the dead. And so churches literally around the globe, I was in that meeting, I was went there and I was part of conversations. They're trying to do their part. If every church does their part, how many know the whole world is gonna experience the love of God, the truth of the gospel, the power of God? How many would say amen, hallelujah? And let me, you could even pray for me after this. Give you a little confession. So for about a year now, I've been eating pretty good. Went to a doctor, all this kind of stuff. But in the last couple weeks, I've been cheating a little. Pray for me. So, but it's really interesting. So, on one of those weak moments, I went through Popeye's drive-thru. Ten-piece chicken tenders with extra honey mustard sauce. It was really bad. So, you know, the Bible says when you confess your sin, it's good, it's cleansing, right? So it was not the biscuit, not the fries, just the chicken tenders and a bottle of water and extra sauce, which they charge you for the sauce now. It's unbelievable. $25. I was like, cosa más grande la vida. I was like, you got to be kidding me, $25? But I was thinking about one meal, and if you go to Dunkin', maybe two Dunkins in a month. Okay? One meal, skipping one meal, maybe fasting one meal, and two trips to Dunkin'. If it's Starbucks, one trip to Starbucks. $33, if we all do our part, the impact that we could make on missions would be what I believe is what God is really calling. I've always had a burden in my heart, like we've got to do more for the missions, but God has spoken to me in a very profound way. So listen, I want you to pray, and there is a, you may have gotten a faith promise. We want to, if you, whatever you want to give once a month, here's why we're asking. We just want to estimate. We're never going to follow up with you. This is not a commitment. This is not a capital campaign. This is nothing like that. But if you filled this out and just dropped it in the basket when you go out with the ushers, then we can make an estimate of what kinds of things we can do this coming year for local and global missions. And we want to do some really special stuff. It's right in your seat pocket, right in front of you in your seat pocket. And some of you can do more. If you can't do 33, I don't care if it's 30 cents. If everyone does their part, how many know something powerful is going to happen, because God is going to breathe on our offering to him? How many would say amen? But we'll be giving this out all throughout the month. If you want to do it today, you can do it today. If you want to do it next week, pray about what you want to give. Christy and I are talking about what we're going to do for our monthly faith promise. And at the end of the month, we'll take that offering. And then every third Sunday for the rest of the year, we'll stop and say, okay, this is missions offering. And we're going to believe God. We'll remind you during that offering to give that extra $33. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. And then here's the other thing that we're going to do at the end of this month, by the end of this month, we're going to lay out, we don't have time for it today, but we're going to lay out all of the different ways that you can give and go. Everybody say go. And I want to encourage you. You heard the going story. When you go, when you become the hands of Jesus extended, I'm telling you right now, powerful things happen in you and through you. It changes your understanding of the kingdom of God. So I want you to begin to pray, not just how God wants you to give. And by the way, like one of our awesome stories was somebody said, look, I've got this going on in my life, so I can't go to Love and Serve Philadelphia, but I'm gonna give the price of going, and somebody else went. And God did something so powerful in a man's life there who somebody else said, I can't go, but I'm gonna give so that you could go. So let the Lord speak to your heart. But I'm telling you right now, God wants you to go. That's what we're gonna be focusing on. All of these things are gonna just unfold over the course of the next few weeks.